welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's long trip to Stranraer, preview the SPFL Trust Trophy tie against Annan Athletic, and it's the return of the Mac as Peterhead's all-time leading goalscorer Rory McAllister returns to Balmoral. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I am Colin Byers, with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you on this fine, sunny, it's late summer's afternoon?
Oh, mate, coping with the heat. It's far too warm for September. But otherwise, I'm okay, Colin. How are you?
Yeah, I'm a bit the same, kind of hot and clammy, but then the good boy. It's unseasonably warm. We're expecting it to be touching autumn time, but the summer's finally arrived.
Aye, 25 degrees in the car coming home a day. I mean, that's too hot for my liking in September.
It's too hot in a summertime, regardless, never mind September. Right, so let's get cracking on. Let's catch up with last week's news before we get on to the Stranraer game. So last week, we'll sort of briefly touch on it because it was always a week ago, and now was the supporters club had hosted a Q&A with the two managers, Ryan Sacken and Jordan Brown. So first of all, thank you to Bruce Davidson and the committee for organising that. Really good turnout. I think there was more folk there than they were anticipating. Certainly, I think more than the co-managers were anticipating. So overall, I think it was a positive exercise once again. We know that both Ryan and Jordan are quite big on these kind of things, that they're quite happy to be open and honest, and they're looking for these kind of engagements, and I think overall it was well received.
Yeah, going by the feedback, it sounds like it was a good evening. Like you said, for the merfolk there, the fact they were anticipating, which is good, it shows there's a demand for it. I think Ryan and Jordan have always been very open since they've come in, that they're willing to be open with supporters. They did not really shirk away from any questions either, which is good. Unfortunately, it wasn't in the back of a win, which they'd have been hoping for, but hopefully we can maybe get something like that organised towards the end of the season as well, or make it an annual thing which can continue to happen, whether it be Ryan and Jordan at the helm or not.
I think they anticipated some of the questions, because a lot of the questions were about recruitment and about last season, but again, to their credit, they were both pretty honest, particularly about last season, maybe brutally honest in how things were last season, because obviously you kind of sugarcoat how badly last season went, and they sort of, as you said, didn't shirk any sort of tough challenges or tough subjects, and were pretty brutal with their honesty and how things went, and how they've done their recruitment as well, which I think was a key thing, because it's okay signing these players, but somebody was asking, I think a couple of folk had asked actually, just why they were signing certain players and why maybe they didn't go for other players.
Yeah, excuse me, I think these things only really work if the answers that you get to the questions are meaningful. And by that, I mean, you get so many interviews now with managers and TVs, you see, and it's very cliched. You can almost recite the answer before the question's finished. And that's why I think these things are good, providing you as fans get something back out of it, which, going by the general feedback, has been well received and everybody enjoyed it. I think on the recruitment side, we'll have identified players early on in the window that they wanted, and I think that's good. They've also got a style of player that they want for certain positions, and they maybe weren't willing to compromise, you know, on quality on it. And it's just a case of getting these players now to gel over the next couple of weeks.
A simple thing, like somebody had asked, did we make an approach for Kane Hester? The simple answer was yes, and this is why it didn't work out. And that's all you can ask, because Unless they're willing to be honest, as you said, you'll always end up with speculation.
Yeah, and that's why you get an answer to your question. It's one where you've got your answer, but you feel it's been answered, rather than, as I say, the cliched, you know, skirting around the actual answer. And they were very honest. Yeah, we made an approach. It didn't go through for reasons A, B, and C, and we moved on to other targets. And like I said, it's only beneficial if it's a two-way thing, and, you know, as I said, going by the reaction of it and the feedback, it was good.
Yep, and as I said, it was a really positive night. Just over an hour, maybe an hour and 15, I think it was. It lasted all in all. So it was a good night, as I said, positive. And it was good. They were both, I think, shared the spotlight. And it wasn't just as though one was speaking more than the other. I think it was pretty much 50-50, which is a good thing. And they were quite... they gave us an understanding of how they are slowly working together as a team, as a management team, and why they do certain things, which is, as I said, is only good. So all in all, the positive exercise, and as you said, Martin, it could be an annual thing. It could be something to do at the end of the season again. So it was positive.
Yeah, and like you said, hopefully it can be an annual thing. When you get things that are done by the club like that, and there's positivity that comes out of it, I think we really should build on it. I think over the years, there's been a lot of negativity around the club. Evidently, we got relegated this season. There's been poor performances. It was a tough year last year, and that is one of the positives to come out of it. We've got Ryan and Jordan. We've done an open Q&A. It was well received, and hopefully we can get more of it.
It's all about the fan engagement and the mere things like this that they are willing to do, the more of these things that the club put on. What you'll maybe find is you'll get more supporters coming through the door, and ultimately that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, and that's on the back of what Craig Keir did in the summer as well, with the fans night as well. We've then got the Q&A, so there is more things that are being done by the club for the supporters, and, you know, if it's well attended, then there'll be more things to come.
One thing they did mention on that Monday night was that they were hoping to finalise the signing of a number 9. That would be announced within 48 hours. There was a bit of speculation online as to who this number 9 was. And then on Wednesday night, it was announced that it was indeed Rory McAllister, who was joining for what would be his third spell at the club as well. From Montrose for an undisclosed fee, klaxon alert. So big sign of intention from Ryan Jordan, and good to get Rory back as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, it's a real statement of intent, how they're going to approach things. To me, now with money being spent on both strikers, it really screams that we're hopefully going to make an attempt for a promotion push. been ramping on about it all season, that I think we've got the quality in the squad. The guys need to go out in the park and show it. But yeah, a real statement of intent by both co-managers.
And the negative, the only negative really that I think anybody's actually come up with is the fact that he is 36. But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, if he keeps himself fit and is the only scoring goals but creating chances for his teammates, he can only be a benefit not only to his team, but I think in the long term as well, he can be a benefit to Kieran Shanks and to Aaron Reid as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's got the experience, and I think he will be able, okay, he's maybe not got to play 90 minutes every week, but the knowledge that he's got, he can pass on to Kieran Shanks, Aaron Reid. But I also think he'll be a good figure to have around the team as well in the dressing room. I think, like I said, he's experienced with a lot of young guys. And to have someone that's been at the club before, he's been there, he's done that, he's scored lots of goals in a team that were maybe lacking an out-and-out goal scorer, I certainly think he can be the man to maybe help us along with that.
And I spoke to him on Saturday before the game, and he was absolutely buzzing. He said that he couldn't keep the smile off his face. He was grinning like the proverbial Cheshire cat. So he's obviously pleased to be back. And in a weird way, it although it's only been sort of 3.5 years since he did leave, it feels like a long time. I think probably because we've gone through so much as PRE supporters, but just in life in general, you know, through the COVID things and things like that. So it's quite refreshing to get him back in the team again.
Yeah, and like I said, I think he will score goals. I don't think he'll play every game and play 90 minutes in every game, but I certainly think he will be a focal point up top. He'll help us out, he'll get his goals, he'll create chances. And that can only be a good thing for the team when they see him in training, banging in goals, seeing the way he puts himself about, even at the ripe age of 36 in the footballing world. I think it's a really good sign and a shrewd bit of business as well.
But on the field as well, you said he can be a benefit to not only to Kieran and to Aaron, but you know he can talk through the game to some of the younger players as well, help them through the game, help them see different things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, he's got the experience. He's been there, he's done it. A lot of young players in the squad, and he'll be able to help them through. Even the experienced guys that we've got, like Sir Jordan Brown, Ryan Strachan, Jason, Andy McCarthy, to hear another figurehead that's been here before and done it can only be a good thing. And I'm sure that'll prove evident over the course of the season.
And he's only 2 goals shy of 200 for the club, so I'm sure he's got that figure in his head already, and he'd be dying to knock that milestone out pretty quickly as well. And it also means, I think we said a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Ryan Strachan possibly taking over his appearance record. Maybe that was the thing that swung it in his way, that he was determined he was going to keep his name at the top of that list.
Yeah, that's a real reason that Rory came back, because he didn't want Ryan beating him. I think he said that on his social media as well. I think it's positive news that we've got an out and out number nine. Somebody can be up there with Aaron Reid and Kieran Shanks. Give them a little bit more support as well. I think we've seen when Kieran's been suspended over the last couple of weeks that Winner really had nobody to go up top. So I think the fact that we've now got Rory in as well, like I said, a good bit of business.
Yep, fantastic piece of business, and he was making his third debut, I guess you could call it, on Saturday at the long trip down to Stranraer on Saturday. It did end in a 2-1 defeat after a long trip down, but an absolutely gorgeous scorching day, a nice game, a nice day for a game of football, somewhat spoiled by the result. And much like we said last week at the previous game against Spartans, it was disappointing we never really got going. I think this was the same again. Almost giving the opposition a 2-goal lead before we sort of kicked in and got going, which was disappointing. And now that's 2 games in a row where we've bemoaned the performance and perhaps individual performances as well.
Yeah, I think the both goals that we conceded on Saturday are poor from a defensive point of view. I'm sure we'll pick them apart over the next couple of minutes. But yeah, I thought that we never really got going in the first half. Stranraer had quite a few chances, could easily have been 3 or 4 up at half time. To be fair to them, we didn't create much. Yeah, I think Jordan touched on his post match. We just seen, you know, a couple of yards off it. They looked sharper for whatever reason. But you know, it's now two defeats. The last two. So you don't want that becoming a habit. You don't want it becoming a rut. You've got a long trip on Saturday in the cup as well. So you want to try and get back to winning ways as soon as possible, because you don't want that rut of last season just starting to creep in either.
And we started with a back three, almost like a 3-4-3. Scott Ross, Ryan Strachan, and Jason Brown was the back three. And you had almost like a front three of Hamish Ritchie, Rory McAllister, and Robert Ward, wider. McAllister and Hamish Ritchie was on the other side. So it was a strange one as to why, you know, we've gone to a back three when obviously the back three didn't really work at all well last season. It was an interesting one, quite an attacking lineup, if you, or certainly an attacking looking formation. So I just wonder what maybe he's thinking. Was there, when he looked at your team sheet, I thought, oh, well, we're going to maybe see Goldie sitting in front of the back four, but no, he was playing as a right wing back.
It's a bold strategy to go with the formation that we did to start with. My thoughts were that early on they were going to try and force from our back with the three up top, almost sort of pin their wing backs back, so they, you know, didn't cause as much problems going forward. But yeah, it just didn't work for whatever reason. I thought it was strange to try a new system away from home. You know, Stranraer started the season well. They had a good result the week before. So yeah, I was surprised at the timing of it. I mean, the back three hasn't really worked for us over the last couple of years when we've tried it through various different managers. But to try it away just from RAR on that particular game, yeah, it did surprise me, to be honest.
And we were second to a lot of the balls, much like what we said last week. You know, midfield, Sonar were, you know, sharper, they were quicker, and it was almost mirrored the performance for the previous week.
Yeah, like I said, you didn't want that becoming a habit and becoming a rut. You want to try and stamp that out pretty quick. We thought there might have been a few changes on Saturday. Wasn't quite the changes I thought in terms of it was a change of system as well, which, yeah, really did catch them by surprise. I didn't see that performance the week before warrant a system change, maybe a personnel change here or there, but really didn't think it needed a system change because you wouldn't have been able to play much in training either. You know, week to week, you've only got two training sessions. So yeah, I was surprised that that change came about.
I think, as I said earlier, disappointed by a few sort of individual performances. Robert Ward, I was disappointed by him. I don't know if it's a confidence thing with him or if he may be carrying a little injury or something, but every time he got the bar and you were sort of screaming at him to you know, just take on the fullback, he kept wanting to come back away or come inside. Obviously, that's where the traffic is, and then lost the ball. And then with any sort of forward momentum we were having, it was always lost. So I don't know, maybe if it's, as I said, maybe a confidence thing, maybe he is carrying an injury. I know Keith was carrying an injury, and that's why he wasn't on for the start, but these little individual performances that we need to be looking at them getting changed pretty quickly for the better.
Yeah, I mean, we look at guys like Sir Robert and Conor O'Keefe, that these are guys that you would describe as almost being match winners. These are guys that have got the quality to be able to change it in your fortune and in your favour. And Robert's got blistering pace. We've seen that before. He's got a really, really good right foot. And he's good when he cuts in, but you know, he's got to be driving a goal for me. He's got to be taking on his fullback. I think that's what he's really good at. You know, if you take on your defender and you beat him and he fouls you, 9 times out of 10 he's going to get a yellow card. Yeah. So you've got your man beaten for the rest of the game. Yeah, it could have been an injury. Could maybe be a confidence thing. Could be a factor of both. But yeah, guys like Robert Ward, you really want him to be on it from the get-go. But he may also be one of them players that's better as an impact player, coming on late on the game, tiring defenders, playing against them, and that might be the role that he's maybe more suited to.
I know Donny Stragan, who was playing on the left at the start of the game for most of the first half, and he was screaming at him, just go, just take him on. But he kept just wanting to come back away. Maybe it's one of those things for he's maybe one of those players, he just needs an arm running about him and be told that he can do it, and he needs that confidence to be rebuilt again.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously he's only been in a matter of a couple of months. I think he's, on the face of it, he would seem the sort of fella that when things are going well for us, he'll be a fantastic player. But then things maybe just aren't quite for us, he maybe just need an arm around the shooter and say, look, you've got the ability to beat this right back or left back. Take him on, show him what you can do, get a good ball in the box, and, you know, let the strikers be there. But he maybe just needs that arm around the shooter by Ryan or Jordan saying, look, you've got the quality. This is what we're wanting you to do. Go and make it happen. And, you know, may a free role, but give him that license to, doesn't really need to track back much. Leave him up there. It can be an outlet. Because we've seen, I think it was, it might have been East Fife in the first game of the season, a ball over the top, and he was, you know, the first team on, like, he was willing to take on the defence. You know, what had made of that from him?
Yeah, so let's go get the two goals, opening goal. As you said, disappointing from a defensive standpoint. Of course, always disappointing to concede a goal from a defensive standpoint, but I think it's the manner of the goals here. So it's a corner that's been, we've cleared the corner, but there's nobody been left up top, so the goalkeeper, I think, is all the time in the world to control the ball and then basically pump it back up the park again. Goldie's missed his header, doesn't win the header, and it's flicked on, and before you know it, the cross is in, and I think it's Orr, Thomas Orr, he's got an easy finish inside his 6-yard box. You know, for all the good play that Sonar had maybe leading up to that, just a simple punt up the park and it was worth undoing.
Yeah, exactly. It's a simple punt up the park. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I think in that situation, Goldie's gone to head the ball, you've got to be aware of the man behind you. And it's maybe worth just dropping back, letting the striker take it down. Or if he flicks it on, then you've got a better chance of winning the second ball with your man behind you. Like you said, hindsight's a great thing, but good ball in. He said it was an easy finish. It's a good composed finish on his left foot on the volley. Could quite easily have skied it over the bar. No blame on McKenzie, I think he can really do much with it, but just taking it back that step further, the keeper's got all the time in the world. But the root cause of that is, again, we're not leaving anybody up for the corners. Time was being one of my bugbears, and we didn't leave anybody up top. Bringing everybody back is great when you're defending late on the game, but the first half, leave somebody up so you've got yourself an out ball. And then I think that then allows the keeper to pick out a 60, 70 yard pass into the strikers oncoming. So yeah, disappointing to concede in the manner that we did with that one.
No, I think in a situation like that, I think you're looking to leave, Jack Brown up top, or Robert Ward at that time. Anybody like that, it doesn't have to be the most paciest of players. It's just to stop something like that happening, given the goalkeeper wouldn't have come for that. He wouldn't have been standing where he was. And second of all, also it means as well that the defensive team then has to go, right, okay, they've brought one back, we'll need to bring an extra one back as well. So that's one less attacker. So, I've never been one for bringing everybody back in these kind of occasions. You should be looking to at least leave at least one up.
Yeah, you've got to give yourself an out ball. you win that header, you've named the up. Nobody up top, even if the keeper comes and catches it, again, you've to slow the game down because you've got nobody up top. Maybe an area we can maybe look at, but that doesn't happen and allow the keeper to play a 60-yard pass if we've got somebody up. But the conceding of the goal is disappointing for our side of things.
And the second goal came from the same side again, Goldie out of position, I think chasing after his man. But over the top of him into the space, I think McCarthy tries to track back, but he couldn't get there in time, and it was again a simple finish, toe poke finish underneath McKenzie.
Yeah, this even frustrates me because the space he's got time to run into is massive. Away from home, you always talk about being tight and compact, and not leaving much space in behind. Well, my word, we left a fair distance for the striker to run into. And it didn't even look like it was a deep run either. It's almost just he sort of meandered into an area and then he's taken that burst of pace and the ball's come down the line. So, yeah, I mean, we're caught out of position. I think there's more than just Goldie. I wouldn't say at fault, but positionally we looked a little bit. Everybody all seemed to one side and Goldie exposed doing his right-hand side. I just think we could have all shuffled across maybe 5-10 yards further across, but yeah, disappointing with the second goal as well.
And again, it sounds like I'm repeating myself, but same as last week, we've got Stuart McKenzie to thank for keeping the score doing it and for keeping us in the game, because my word, if it was for him in that first half, we could have been 3, easily 4 down before the break, and really a couple of really good saves for him.
Yeah, like I said last week, and I'll reiterate, I was critical of Stuart when he first came in. I thought he seemed a little bit ropey at the back, a little bit lacking in confidence, but my word, if it wasn't for him this last couple of games, we could have been on the doing of some really hefty scores. That's no exaggeration. Stuart kept us in it well the week before, a couple of cracking saves on Saturday as well, so we just need to be a wee bit tighter at the back. Again, we're trying to go forward and score goals, but once you take your eye off the ball in the back and you start conceding, that's when you've got more problems than answers.
I mean, for your goalkeeper to be your best player 2 games in a row, I think tells you something how things are going. He's pulling off save after save, and as I said, if it wasn't for him, it certainly would have been a hell of a lot worse by the break. You'd much prefer Nate to be speaking about Stuart McKenzie on a normal day in a normal game, but it's just not enough players in front of him that are not taking the game by the horns and trying to stamp their authority on the game, and far too often as well, we're not getting enough players forward in support of Rory. He was making runs out wide, collecting the ball, but there wasn't enough bodies going forward.
Yeah, I think defensively we need to maybe sort of go back to basics. It's okay trying to be attacking and get players forward, but you need to do the basics of the defending right first. So we've got experience in the back line. You know, you've got your Danny Strachans, you've got your Jason Browns, Ryan Strachan. We just need it to come together. Caleb Goldie's a very young defender. Jordan Armstrong's just in. Maybe we need he likes a Caleb just that arm round the shoulder and say, look, okay, maybe I've been as good the last couple of weeks, but going back to what you were when you first came in, your first two games, really, really solid going forward and defensively. And this has been, I think this is Ryan and Jordan's first real test, if I'm being honest. Obviously, last season we were getting relegated. All things have been positive to start the season in terms of the cup. Obviously, it was a very difficult group, but performance-wise, it was decent. So this is their first test as well, I would think.
Yeah, and there was always going to be a blip of some kind. Maybe this is the blip, nice and early at the start of the season, and hopefully that you know it'll pick up. You know, you never know. It'll maybe change in next week. They made a couple of changes at halftime. O'Keefe and Joe McKee came on, so they switched back to a 4-2-3-1, which is a familiar formation. And you know, it's still early doors, though. Sonar could have been out of sight again if it wasn't for McKenzie. So although the changes did maybe affect the game, later on in the second half, there was still that worry that it was only going to be one-way traffic.
I think Jordan mentioned it in his post-match. I think when you give your opposition a two-goal head start, it becomes very, very difficult at this level to get back into it. I was pleased that they went back to a more tested and tried formation with a 4-2-3-1. I think it's a formation that does suit us. It certainly suits us more than the 3-4-3 that we started with. Stranraer could easily have been 3 or 4 up at half-time, but I think 2 or 3 chances as well starting the second half. But yeah, we just weren't out of the races on Saturday, unfortunately.
No, and that was the thing. We didn't get going at all. There was a penalty shout. Aaron Reid was brought down inside the box. Now, he was booked for simulation, I guess. Really harsh, I think, to book him for that. The only question is, was it a penalty or was it just a coming together? Certainly didn't think it was a booking for Aaron. Having seen it back, maybe it's questionable whether it's a penalty or not.
I don't think it's a booking, but I don't think it's a penalty. I think for the referee to give a booking, he's got to be 100% certain that there's been no contact and he's dived to win a penalty. I don't know how you can be certain on any account. If there is contact, I would say it's very minimal. But yeah, I'm no surprise that the referee didn't give a penalty.
He gave he booked one of the Sonar players in the first half for a dive, which was clearly a dive, and you see it again in the highlights as well. Excuse me, that one was definitely a dive. So I just wonder if he was. He probably shouldn't have been, but I just wondered if he was trying to sort of even things out a bit with the first opportunity, knowing that we were 2-0 down, still had, 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go, whatever it was. Maybe he thought that was the first opportunity he had.
Possibly. We're always told that referees look at things in isolation, but I think we all know as supporters, when you watch a game, as soon as the referee's got a chance to even things up, which he thinks, you know, a decision should be to balance things out, he'll always do it. And that maybe is one of them incidents and Aaron's been punished for it.
It's a huge decision, because if we get that penalty and we score it, we're right back into that game again. And it was just in a spell where we were starting to come into it, and I think maybe because Sarar maybe lifted the foot off the gas a little bit, knowing that they were 2-0 up, pretty much cruising at the time. So, you know, we get that penalty, score it, we're right back into that game again.
Yeah, that's maybe why the referee, that's why I think the ref's got to be absolutely 100% certain that it is a dive, because you said the timing of the game, the way the momentum of the game had gone that previous 10 minutes. And I think if he's not 100% certain, then he can't give the yellow card. It's maybe one of them, the referee would just say, no, it's not a penalty, you play on. But to book him for diving, he must think that there's been absolutely no contact, and he's basically saying, I'm booking you for cheating. Mm. Now, that's basically what the yellow card's for. But the timing of the game, yeah, it's a big decision by the referee.
And you could almost say, well, he should be looking at his linesman at that side for a bit of help, because he's looking right at it, probably had a better view between the two of them, but that linesman to that side was just so horrendous. I actually forgot that he took a flag with him, I think, because so many times that players were clearly offside and he was in the flag and it was unreal. So he was obviously not getting help from his assistant either. Either side, really.
The linesman, or sorry, lines person, he's maybe going with a new mandate from UEFA where you didn't put your flag up unless, you know, you're absolutely certain, let the play go. But yeah, I mean, officials in Scotland this season and last season have been questionable at best.
And as I said, this was in a period where we were starting to get into the game, we were starting to get crosses in, you know, we'd switched Jason to right back, who was, I think I counted about five different players played there, right back on Saturday. He was one of them. So we were getting crosses in, and suddenly Rory was getting on top of getting headers. He was getting chances. So, you know, we bemoan how much we weren't great going forward, but suddenly once we started getting the crosses in, we were creating chances, and defensively they looked a little bit shaky.
Well, going back to the tried and tested 4-2-3-1, like I said, I think it suits us a lot better. The fact that so many players were able to change position within the game, it can be seen as a good thing, can also be seen as a bad thing in terms of we're sort of clutching at straws a wee bit and trying, in terms of trying to change the game. You always try and come into a game with plan A and plan B. But we were creating the chances, it just wasn't, just weren't going in the back of the net for us. Rory had a couple, but I think it would have been harsh and sonar if we'd come away with anything from the game, if I'm being honest.
Now, we mentioned the referee late on, Scott Agnew, Stranraer manager, was sent off, much like Jordan was a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, I think it was, against Stenny, sent off for shouting an expletive. Now, when we spoke about Jordan's sending off, we thought it was a daft rule, and if they're going to stamp on that and implement this rule, we did say that you're going to have most games that are going to be a manager sent off, and this is exactly what has happened, because that this has come because he's missed a clear push at the edge of the box. I thought at the time it was a clear push by Hamish. It was. You see it again in the highlights. There was a clear push. He was shouting for a penalty. It wasn't a penalty because it was outside the box. But the way in which the referee branded the card, I mean, he literally said what he said, and a half a second later, the referee's got the card out.
Yeah, it opens up a can of worms, I think. I think if you're... Hey, if they're going to be consistent with it, fair dues. But the reason that Scott Agnew got sent off on Saturday and Jordan got sent off a couple of weeks back is because of the referees name making the clear and obvious decisions, which everybody can see. So you get why managers get frustrated. And we've spoken about this before. When things aren't going right for your club, the managers will face the brunt of it, potentially face a sack. When the referees have a bad game, they still get to referee the week after. They don't get the consequences of their poor judgment and their actions. But when certain things are as, you know, as blatant as what they are, you can understand why managers and coaches get frustrated. But if they're going to be consistent and club doing it, then I'm sure over the next couple of months you'll see less and less of what happened, because managers will be able to sort of rein it in a wee bit. But should they really have to, when referees are getting decisions like that as bad as what they are?
I don't get what's the difference between a manager and, say, a player on the park. And you don't want to see players getting sent off. But what's the difference between what Scott Agnew had said, and even though I was at the opposite side, I heard him clear as day, and I think everybody heard him, to what maybe somebody else might, what a player might say if he doesn't get a decision, for example. There's no difference in it whatsoever. I think they've been overly... harsh on managers. I think, as I said, what's going to happen is you're going to see missed games. There's going to be a manager sent off, particularly if the referees have missed a big decision or an easy decision and they've got it wrong. The SFA might look at it and say, well, if we start clamping down on this early, what might happen is that we'll see less of these shouts and calls for managers, which they would look at as the positive sign, positive thing. But in a funny way, I think that will take away because you know, you say things in the heat of the moment. It's an emotional game. You don't want to take that emotion out of it.
I think what they're trying to do is probably eradicate abuse or foul and abusive language coming from the bench towards match officials, which, yeah, I get to an extent. As you said, it's a very emotional game. Things are set in the heat moment. We all do it. But I think there has to be a better way. I don't think just saying the odd expletive or a sentence is worthy of a straight red card. Because, as you said, if it's a difference between a player doing it when they didn't get a foul after 3 minutes in the game and a manager saying in the 88th minute, I think there's got to be that understanding of, right, we're trying to set an example. We didn't want abuse coming for the managers towards the official on the dugout or towards the referee. But to say a sentence and get sent off for it, I think there needs to be a middle ground as well.
I'll give you one further. I think if he takes the expletive out, he obviously doesn't get sent off, but it is literally just one word, because what he's, instead of saying what he said, he could have gone, he could have shouted, "Ref, that's a pen," but instead what he said was, "Ref, that's an effing pen," and that's what he got sent off for. It's crazy. It wasn't even like, you could hear a lot of worse things going on during a game, and that's what he gets sent off for.
Yeah, and I think it's stupid to get sent off for something like that. I mean, even if the referee, you know, they go on about having respect for referees. Yeah, fair dues, but hey, respect back for the managers then. Right, Scott's won a penalty for that incident. Right, we'll go over and say, well, look, from my point of view, it wasn't a penalty because of this. Now, why can't you kind of go over and explain every decision? But if you're a way to send a manager off, evidently he's seen it completely different. Just go and put your point across then. Just say, look, the reason I haven't given this as a penalty is because da da da, and that's it. And then you can alleviate some of this hostility towards maybe match officials that some folk have got. And like I said, they try and go on about respect and quality in the game and everything. Right, well, let's try and find a ground where everybody is happy with certain things that are being done. And I just think for a sentence like that to get sent off for it, I think is nonsense.
Yeah, and again, much like the Jordan one, it wasn't even like a talking to or anything. It was just literally the card was out, like, that's you off. It just seems such a bizarre end to the game, and it probably spoiled it for the home side. Before we finish up in the game, we've got to talk about Jason's goal. Pulled one back, 97 minutes of added time. In fact, you know, if you looked at this goal and you said them right, what position do you think he plays, you wouldn't say centre half, because it was a really, really tidy finish, even on his left foot as well.
Yeah, your right sided centre half as well, mind you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lovely finish, really, really good finish on his weaker left foot. I think any striker on their day would be proud of that. He, like I said, on the weak foot, chasing the ball down, he's just dinked it first time. Yeah, it was really good effort.
Yeah, just a pity it didn't come any earlier than that, but you know, the amount of time that it was added on, you know, we still had another couple of minutes after that as well, so we might have sneaked it. But I think getting a 2-2, getting a draw after that would probably have been a bit harsh on the home side. But I think we end up getting what we deserved at the game, as in nothing.
Yeah, and I don't think we did enough during the game to warrant getting anything out of it. Like you said, from our crease, they've been 3 or 4 nil up come half time. And yeah, I think if we'd gotten something out of it even that late on, I think it'd have been a bit of daylight robbery.
So we slipped to sixth. You know, it looks bad, but you know, we're 4 adrift of 3 teams, Stranraer, Dumbarton, and probably the surprise package so far, Bonnie Rigg, who we play next in the league in a couple of weeks. It's probably not a time to sort of hit the panic button as such, but you know, it's going to be September's going to be a tough month. We've got Dumbarton to play, we've got Bonnie Rigg to play, the top sides in the league, so you're hoping that fortunes will change sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I don't think we should be pressing any panic buttons. I think we spoke last week about there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows, and it's trying to find that middle ground of what's positive and what's, you know, what's been negative and hasn't really worked. We've got a cup game on Saturday. It's maybe a chance to try some players that maybe haven't featured as much and seen if they can offer something different for the Bonnie Wright game the week after. But yeah, you're now at the point where you're trying maybe nice to use to chop and change the squad altogether, but you're now trying to get a consistent start in 11 and trying to get that bit of momentum and a bit of form together.
Right, so we mentioned Rory signing. There was word of potentially another loan signing coming in at last week's Q&A. A couple of years have asked, because obviously we asked for some of your questions come in. That was the sort of theme of the questions. Well, is there going to be any more activity? So we've asked the question, and as far as we know, that loan signing that was supposed to be happening is no longer going to be happening. Reasons for which we don't know, but that's as much as we know at the moment. It looks as though the squad as is will be until January. However, you know, we've got 3 weeks left of the window. The loan window, so that things could change. We sort of spoke about it last week, but you know, given now that we've got Rory in, we're supposed to, we potentially should have had another loan signing in. Are you happy with the way things are? Do you think we should maybe get another loan in? But obviously we're not just going to bring in another loan just for the sake of bringing someone in. It's obviously got to be the right person. Do you think we're light, or do you think we've got enough until January?
I think if the loan market closed tonight, I'd be happy with the squad. I think it's about getting them in gel now and getting them into a settled squad. I think they would only take in a loan signing if it's actually beneficial to us. So to me, maybe a creative midfielder. We've got wingers, but you're looking for that player in midfield. Yeah, we've got Joe McKee, good eye for a pass, Andy McCarthy, but other than really Hamish Ritchie, you don't really have that creative player behind the striker for me. Mm-hmm. You've got Conor O'Keefe, but you maybe prefer him out wide right. But yeah, maybe a creative midfielder. But if the loan market closed tonight, I'd be happy with the squad.
And bear in mind, we've still got Kieran Gibbons to come back as well. He's not far from coming back for his injury. I think he was doing a fitness test on Saturday as well, so he was there. We'll have Kieran Shanks back from his suspension as well. And then that'll be interesting to see how that sort of dynamic works now that we've got Shanks and we've got McAllister and Reid. Obviously, we're playing one up top. Can we go to a two? Can Shanks play as a number 10, possibly? It's going to be interesting to see how, once we've got everybody back and everybody fit, obviously apart from Conor Duthie, who's out for the season, but everybody's fit and everybody's ready to go, how they see, you know, the formation, and can we play two up top?
Yeah, I've been asked about that a few times at work since Rory signed. Oh, we got to change formation, go to two up top. And I think it will be interesting. I think that they like, I mean, evidently they tried three on Saturday, so it's maybe something that is in their plans to go with two up top with Kieran and with Rory, and then you've also got the option of Conor O'Keefe and Aaron Reid to come on or change the game as well, if they decided that was an option to go for. So yeah, there's possibilities. I think the squad that we've got now, there's a few players can play in different positions, which will help us out. Evidently, we've tried the 4-2-3-1, we've tried the 3-4-3, so we're also looking at something, whether that's with Rory in mind, now that he is actually signed, about what they're going to do formation-wise, and we'll maybe have a better idea come the game on Saturday.
Yeah, so we mentioned Saturday's game, so it's another long trip down to that neck of the woods to play Annan, this time in the SPFL Trust Trophy. Annan, obviously, now League One side. We're a League Two side, so we swapped over last season after their promotion and relegating Clyde and our relegation as well. So this stage last season, we didn't have a game at this stage because, excuse me, we were already out and got stuffed. So it's another game. You could look at it and say, well, it's a chance to kind of build on the defeats, but, you know, try and turn that fortunes round. On another way, as you said earlier on, it could be a chance to, you know, play some of the fringe players and give them a go and, you know, go all out for the league in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see the lineup on Saturday. I think somebody at work said to me this morning they'd be quite happy to use the cup. It's a distraction. But if you go to the Cup on Saturday, that becomes three defeats, and then you're playing a very difficult home game against Bonnie Rigg, and then before you can it, you've gone a whole month without a win, and mm-hmm. That's when a rut can start to set in. So yeah, whilst the Cup can be a distraction, I think you've got to go and try and get a win at Annan. A League One side, it'll be a scalp to go away to a League One side, you know, and get a win. And that would breed confidence as well. FITBA and confidence is massive. So yeah, I think we've got to go on and put on a good performance and you know, ultimately try and get the win.
I mean, there are a League One side, but I think initially, they struggled. I think they lost their first three games. They beat Edinburgh 3-2 on Saturday after being 2-0 down, and the previous week they drew with Celtic again, having been a goal down as well. So you know, they're obviously a side who you know will dig in and when I take a defeat lying down kind of thing. So we'll need to be at it, and there'll be again for them. It'll be interesting to see how they respond because in the terms of. You know, they've got 4 points. Their 5 games. They'll be looking to kind of use this maybe game as a springboard to start winning games in the league for them as well.
Yeah, I think both teams will go into it with a mindset of, you know, this can really shape up seasons in terms of if you go through in the cup, it can propel you to have a, you know, maybe a good another couple of weeks in the league. But by the same token, if you get beat, then your start to the season starts to become, you know, very average or bad. And that's why you said we're a couple of points off teams at the top. But, you know, if you didn't win on Saturday in the Cup, you're then out of the Cup, you're a couple of points off, you're sitting six, then your good start becomes average. And you don't want a slump to start sitting in. You want to try and maintain confidence. I think Saturday's only game, I would say, performance wasn't quite there. Even the Spartans game that we got beat, I thought there was a performance there. So, yeah, it's just about the mindset and how we set up on Saturday.
And there were a few familiar faces in the Annan lineup as well. 5 players that they've got currently used to play for Peterhead as well. So, you know, as I said, there were familiar faces. But they'll want to get one over their old side as well.
Oh, absolutely. Every former player... Again, a lot of players these days don't celebrate for the score a goal against their old club, but make no mistake about it, there's players on that Annan team that will be more than happy to put one over their old club.
And you touched on it earlier on. You know, if you get beat, it's three defeats. But is it ultimately a distraction? And would you rather, you know, take a loss on Saturday, but then win the following week, I guess is probably how you would want it to go. I mean, ideally you want to win both games, but over the course of the season, unless you're going to go and you know, get a decent zone in the next round, it is ultimately a distraction, this game, I would say.
Yeah, but it's also a chance where we can get a win, and I think, you know, based on the last couple of weeks, we probably do need a win. It is a distraction at times. I think the bread and butter is always going to be the league. You're wanting to ultimately get promoted, you want to get back to League One, but I think if you can get a win on Saturday and it gives you the confidence, then you take that into the Bonnie Rigg game, as far as if you get beat and then it becomes 3 defeats in a row. Yeah, things start to look a wee bit questionable.
And can Shanks and McAllister both start?
Yes, I say tentatively, and I think they could work well together, whether that's the game to do it in, possibly. You know, it maybe is a chance for the two of them to work together. I'm sure they'll be, you know, they'll have hit, what, 3 training sessions between them, Rory signing and an actual game where they can both participate in. So, yeah, I think they could both play, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is the one up top, one getting an hour and the other one getting half an hour towards the end.
Now joining me on the Blue Tune podcast is Annan supporter, Jake Vaughan. Jake, welcome to the Blue Tune podcast. How are you?
Hi, mate. I'm not bad. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Just enjoying the late summer sunshine that we seem to be getting.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Nice to wait to start the autumn, but it must be nice to be an Annan supporter at the moment. Obviously, promotion last season, so how good was that at tail end of last season?
Yeah, it was good. Luckily, I was actually quite grateful. I was at that game at the Douglas, beating Clyde. We've had a bit of a history with Clyde in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in 2019, they beat us, and then they went up, and we didn't. And then last season, we obviously had the Edinburgh City, and then they won. But I always said to myself after going away from that game that next season was our year, and it was, luckily. And I couldn't think of a better way to do it against Clyde, old rivals. Well, rival of mine, I would say, anyway. To go up that way, just the whole night, just something I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm. Always good to get one over Clyde, we think, as Peterhead supporters as well. So, you to join the club. How has the preparations for life in League One gone over the summer? Pleased with the recruitment and how did you find that the League Cup went?
The League Cup, obviously we've had a few injuries. Our star striker Tommy Goss, he was injured. Stephen Swinglehurst, he got injured. Chris Johnson, he got injured. So we lost three of arguably our best players. So the League Cup is always going to be tough. But to combat that, we have brought in a few good players. We've obviously brought in Finlay Crossley-Adair for Preston, and we've got James Graham for Rangers on loan. Saw him on Saturday against Kelly. He was very good. Start to see, we always knew it was going to be tough going against Falkirk away. You couldn't really think of a harder tie to start your, you know, a new league, first time in our history. But we, after obviously beating Edinburgh City last Saturday, I think that's gave us a bit of confidence. Obviously, Tommy's back, Chris is back, Stephen's yet to come back. But we're making progress, and I think there's a real kind of hope in the camp, for what I saw anyway, from a fan's perspective. I think a lot of people at the start of the season have wrote us off, but I think we're going to, you know, we're always the underdog. We like to be the underdog, and I think we'll do well. I think we'll stay up, hopefully.
You mentioned the Edinburgh game. I think you were 2-0 down as well, and come back to win it 3-2. So does that show you the sort of fighting spirit that you've got within the team?
Yeah, I think it does. Obviously, seeing the team 2-0 down is never good, especially Edinburgh. Looks like we've got to be our rivals. I know it's early days, but this kind of like League One's very close. Round about the bottom of the table. But I think that gave the real boost to the players, especially a double for Dominic Docherty from midfield. I think that's done nothing but boost his confidence. I think Tommy to get the winner on his return for injury, that would do him the world of good.
Have you noticed that a jump in the quality between League One and League Two?
Yeah, especially that obviously League One's got a few more full time teams now, like say your Falkirks and your Hamiltons. You know, it's always got to be a challenge, but I think we've raised it, and I think we will come on stronger as the season progresses. As if we keep our main players fit, we should be okay.
What did you make of the draw then? Obviously, we've been paired together in the SPFL Trust Trophy. Before the draw, did you fancy one of the bigger sides, or is this kind of one of those in-betweeny kind of draws?
Yeah, I think, well, it really depends. If you're wanting to go far in the Trust Trophy, I think we could. You'd obviously want, you know, not as stronger teams as ones that are the stronger teams, but if you're to get obviously the stronger the team, obviously more chance to get like TV money and that kind of, for like a club, as you know, as a Peterhead fan, like a club like our size, that money really does well for the club. So I was kind of looking forward going into the draw, hoping we'd get maybe an away day at Wales, somewhere like that. But, you know, when I saw Peterhead came out, I was pretty happy with Peterhead. I think that'll be a close game. I think we are both, obviously, used were relegated for last season. We came up, so it should be quite an interesting game.
How do you think the players and the managers will see it? Obviously, publicly they'll say that they'll want to win every game, but do you think maybe they see this game or this competition as maybe a distraction away from the league, or is it maybe a welcome distraction at that kind of thinking?
I was just speaking to Peter on Saturday after the Kelty, and he said that, you know, one game at a time, we'll focus on it as a wee bit of a distraction for the league. But we've kind of had that before when we had that cup run last season. Obviously, we had Aberdeen that kind of start, made the season a wee bit more difficult at the start, but then we kicked on and we went places. But it's always nice to have like a cup away for league fixtures.
There's a number of former Peterhead players playing for. At the moment, Greg Fleming, Scott Hooper, Aidan Smith, just to name a few. Are there any players other than the ones that you've mentioned already that we should be looking out for?
Well, apart from the ones I've mentioned, I would probably say James Graham. He came on at half-time against Kelly on Saturday. And he was very lively, causing problems. He was on the left, he was on the right, went through the middle. He was probably our best player at different points of the second half. He helped set up the goal, the equaliser. Apart from him, I think Chris Johnston, he's strong. He's like our mini Messi, as we like to call him. He's fast on the wing, he causes trouble for the back. Again, as well, Dominic Doherty, he causes a problem. There's a good depth in the squad of quality this season, which I'm quite pleased about, because going into League One, I was, maybe we'll lose some of our star players like Tommy, but obviously we kept Tommy. I'm very happy because he is our best player, I would say. Very strong. He's always a kind of threat, aerial threat, being such tall for a striker. Always lethal for corners. So,
how do you see the game going? You mentioned that earlier on it might be tight. Do you see it being particularly tight, and do you think maybe the first goal might be the key?
Yeah, I think it will be a tight game. I think the first 20, 30 minutes is one of them that I think it will dictate the game. I think going into it, both teams could see themselves winning it, because it's that tight. I think it'll be interesting to see what goes on, because obviously, again, it's a distraction for the league. If we win, would that maybe turn the heads if they get a bigger draw? Do you know what I mean? So, but no, I'm looking forward to the game. It'll be a good game.
Yeah, having obviously travelled 5 hours down the road on Saturday, we've got all that to do again. Do you think that maybe that it comes into play? Was it you guys wouldn't have to do that if it had been, you wouldn't have to do that, as I said, if it had been the other way around. Do you think the travel comes into it?
Yeah, obviously, you didn't have the best of results. And obviously, we've got a lot of run of form going on, so I think that'll play into it as well. But I think Peterhead, I've not saw a lot of these this season, but I think he's well. Oh, from an outsider, I think you should do okay in League 2, but I guess League 2 is kind of very similar to League 1 in the quality. It's kind of there or thereabouts, bottom of League 1, top of League 2 kind of thing. But, you know, as I said, I think it'll be a tight game.
What do you think the score got to be asking for a score prediction? What do you think it's going to be?
I think both teams will score, but I think I'll go 2-1 Annan. I think maybe there'll be an early goal for either side, and then there'll be an equaliser, and then hopefully Annan get the winner.
Okay, so 2-1 is you're going with. I hope it's going to be the other way around, but there we are. Jake, absolutely a pleasure to have you on. Thanks very much for jumping on. Do appreciate it.
No problem.
Wish you well on Saturday, not too much, obviously, and wish you well with life in League One as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
That is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Jake Vaughan for joining me to preview Saturday's game against Annan, and of course to Martin Smith for his insight as always. A big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.